You may have heard the quote before, preach the gospel at all times and use words if necessary. It's oftentimes attributed to a great saint named Saint Francis of Assisi. Now, as much as I like that quote, as much as I believe that we are called to live our entire lives proclaiming the gospel in mind, body, soul, in everything that we do, we ought to proclaim the gospel, we are pretty good at eliminating necessity from that equation, right? We're pretty good at saying, you know, do I really need to use words in my witness? Like, I mean, I understand the value of words, but what if I don't have the right words? Or what if I don't know all of the words to say, or maybe I'm not equipped to use the words in the ways that I should. I don't want to turn somebody away from Christ. So I will just continue to do. I'll continue to live out my witness at all times and if necessary, which isn't very often, really maybe never use words. But when we've seen and experienced something extraordinary, words are absolutely essential. Now, take for example, a few years ago, I had just pulled up to a stoplight. The light had just turned red, and someone had gone through that light. It was green for them, it was red for me. And I watched as they were turning left into the left lane. There was somebody on the other side turning right into the right lane. Well, as they were turning left and this guy was turning right, he slowly veered into the left lane and came in contact with that other driver. Now, this would have, most people have probably seen a wreck, but this time, what happened next triggered my hero, Clint. Because that driver who collided with the other that was in the wrong, he took off. The middle of a hit and run, he knew that he had done something wrong and he took off. And so I'm sitting there at the other end of the light with an intersection that really nobody was coming through. And so I looked left and I looked right and I took off after him. I'm going. And so actually I was driving a Prius, so it was more like, right? And so I followed this guy, and I'm imagining everything in my head. I'm gonna, like, the cop movies where they speed up past them and then like slide right in front of them and like stop and get out of the car. I didn't do that. I don't think my Prius could pull that off. But what I did is I came up right behind him and I started thinking, okay, if I pull up next to him and get out of my car and flag him down, they'll go and do the right thing. And I pulled up next to the guy and he was really big, like really big. And so I turned left and went back to the person who had gotten hit. But I did get the license plate number. I went back and let her know that I'd seen it and took my information down. A few weeks later, I got a call from the insurance agent. I don't know all the things that happened in the rest of this story, but I knew in that moment that I needed to speak something. See, a witness sees something and then testifies to what they have seen. In a study of Christian life by Lifeway Research Group, 80% of Christians believe that it is their responsibility to share or to witness to their faith to others. Yet 61% of those who believe that it is their responsibility have not done so in the last 6 months. 3 out of 4 Christians, according to this study, expressed an extreme discomfort, a fear, or an overall lack of inability to share their faith. What do we do with that? Today, in our text, as we look at Luke chapter 2, we see the shepherds, less qualified than you and I, witness to the truth of God, and it stirs them to an insatiable desire to tell their story. I hope that today, through the text, we gain a clear understanding of our call to testify to what we have seen and know to a world that desperately needs it. If you have your Bibles, we're gonna be in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. I know it says 15, but I wanna go back a few verses. So if you have your Bibles, would you stand with me for the reading of the word? And as you stand and get there, let's pray. Lord, would you meet us in the middle of our reading of scripture? God, would you take the word of God and would you make it for us transformative? God, would you use these lips? God, would you speak through me or in spite of me so that the word of God might be proclaimed in our midst and we might be transformed for your gospel. We love you, we praise you, and we give thanks. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in clothes, laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth, peace to those in whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as it had been told to them. This is the word of God for you and me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. When necessary, use words. For the shepherds, what they had witnessed required words. We see in verses 17 and 18, when they had seen him, then they spread the word. In verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed. It seems as if they went from that moment, seeing and hearing, and went immediately out into the world to proclaim what they had just seen, witnessed, and heard. Friends, God is actively moving in our midst every day. And our call to witness to his grace in this world is absolutely vital. I believe our text gives us four insights into God's call to witness in our lives. Yes, even you. The first is that our witness begins when God interrupts our normal. Verses 8 and 9, if you go back to the text, you'll see that the shepherds were just out doing their normal thing on a cold night. They weren't engaged in any special activity. They weren't discerning a call to ministry. They weren't studying in scripture. No, they were just doing their normal activity, their normal living, their normal tending of sheep, and God's story interrupted theirs. It is God's great joy to interact with you in your story in ways that will absolutely blow your mind. We see this all throughout the narrative of scripture. I challenge you to find me one story where God did something amazing that wasn't an interruption into that person's life. God, when God interacts with our story, it begins a bold witness. It begins what we are called to, a bold witness. But are you aware enough to see it? For the shepherds, it was absolutely blatant. They couldn't miss it. But for us, oftentimes that interruption into our lives is much more subtle. Maybe it's a weighted question from a colleague that comes and sits at our desk. We can see that there's something deeper, something behind it. Maybe it's a canceled meeting and some free space in the middle of our day, and we fill it with scrolling through our phone just to kill time. Or some other tasks that were on our list, instead of asking, God, what would you have me to do with this interruption in my day? Even if we see it, even if we see that interruption, are we willing to embrace it when it happens? I think oftentimes our overpacked schedules, are always in a hurry from one thing to the next, prevents the interruptions from God from being embraced in our lives. Maybe the call is to slow down, to begin to ask, even to ask God in the morning, God, would you interrupt my story today? What a bold question for God. Would you interrupt my story with yours? And don't be surprised when he does. Because when he does, and he will, because he so desperately desires to interact in your story, may we be like the shepherds in verse 15 that say, let's go and see it. Let's pursue what that might look like. But why the shepherds? Why did the angels come to the shepherds and not the nobles who had a voice in the community? This brings us to our second point. God does not use the most equipped, but the most available. You see, the shepherds were not capable of even, or qualified even, to be the best candidates to share the story of Jesus. They weren't even known as credible witnesses in court. In the early Babylonian Talmud, which is like a writing that the Jewish leaders would write and gives us some history of what was going on in that time, they were not even allowed to be witnesses in court. Shepherds' testimony was considered unreliable. Yet, this backs up Luke's theme all throughout his gospel, that he uses the lowly to bring great joy to the people. One of the leading causes for our anxiety in sharing our story and sharing our testimony and being a witness is that we don't feel like we are qualified to share our story. I'm not smart enough to parse the text. I'm not well read enough to answer all of the questions. I don't know enough. What about the shepherds? They didn't become shepherds because they got a 520 on their MCAT. No, the shepherds had failed out of rabbinic school. They were completely unqualified. I'm not social enough or eloquent enough to share my faith in the world, so I'll just live it out. Well, look at the shepherds. Most of their conversations were pretty one-sided, and if there was a response, it was oftentimes, bah. I don't think that they were known as the most eloquent of speakers. What do I say? What do I do if they come back at me with a rebuttal? Friends, the one thing that someone cannot argue is your story. They can't argue with your story because it's how you experienced it. It's how you understood what God was doing in your life. Remember, you are not the judge with the gavel. You're not a lawyer that needs to have a perfect case. You are simply a witness. And God desires to move in you and through you. Which brings us to verse 10. In verse 10, we see in the text, but the angel said to them, he said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. You see, the message was for the shepherds, but ultimately it was for all people. God wanted to speak to the shepherds, but also through the shepherds, for them to be a conduit for the goodness and the grace of God. God has bestowed incredible story, incredible opportunity, incredible blessings on your life and in your faith. I've had opportunity to sit down with many of you and have conversations about your faith. God has gifted you with rich faith. That's not just for you. That is meant to be used through you. One of my favorite mantras in life and in ministry is that we are not meant to be buckets, but we are meant to be pipes. A bucket keeps whatever is given to it in one place. And what happens when something sits in a bucket for too long? It begins to be stale. And the water goes bad, it becomes stagnant and starts growing mold and things. But for a pipe, when everything that is poured into one side is then sent along so that it might be useful on the other side. Everything that God has poured into you is meant to be shared with the world. If you stand here and say, I just don't think I have anything to share, I think that is called an abiding problem. Because when we are connected to the vine, when we are engaged with the word of God on a regular basis, then he has so much to pour into you and I. Maybe we have a slowing down problem. We don't have the opportunity to process all of the things that God might be teaching us. I think this is the value of one of the things that Stephen talked about was small groups, band meetings and class meetings where we gather together to process what God is doing in our story so that we might then have the ability to share it with others. If we have a venue that we are regularly sharing what God is doing, the ways that God is interacting in our lives, we begin to formulate our stories on a weekly basis. And as we formulate those stories on a weekly basis, we're more equipped to then share those stories with our coworkers and the people around us. I think it's so important that we have a venue in which to share our stories on a regular basis. It forces us into the habit of observing those moments and those movements of God more closely. And finally, I want to close with this. To what end? To what end are we called to share our stories? I think this is oftentimes where we get hung up the most. Man, I do not have the ability to convert someone. That terrifies me to have to close the deal. Even to invite them to church. What if they say no? The aim of witness is the glorification of God. The aim of witness is the glorification of God. If we look at verse 20, what do the shepherds do when they leave? The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Friends, we put too much pressure on the idea of sharing our faith. We put so much pressure that we have to be the one to close the deal or to secure their eternal salvation at the end of that conversation or at any point in that conversation. What God desires to speak through you is the glorification of God. It is not your job to save people's souls. It is your job to glorify God and to plant seeds in the places that you are, that God has put you. God does not need you to deliver a perfect message, but to be a messenger of a perfect God. And so, church, all of this starts with a heart of praise. Would we be a people who come to the throne of God with such expectation to meet with God that we might see his glory and have nothing to do but to share it with the rest of the world? This is our call. Church, would you preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words? But church, I believe that our time of silence is over. Church, I pray that we would be in a people that put ourselves in a position so that the movement of God interrupts so gloriously in our lives that we can't help but declare with our lives and our lips the goodness of our God. Friends, your neighbor needs your witness. Your children need your witness. Your coworkers, your friends on the baseball sidelines, they need your witness. They may live their lives with never seeing the movement of God, but you have been given the gift to see. You who are privileged to experience a call of God are also gifted the opportunity to testify. Church, would we be a body of Christ dead set on testifying to the goodness of God that we have seen in our own lives and in the life of this church?